Yoredeh, Simin Reish Mantes. Kama Chayavitein. How much does he have to give? The Ketzad Yitnena. How should he give the tzedakah? So the Gemara in Ksubis tells us that I just came up in Daf Yomi, Daf Nun, Amar Rabbi Ilo, Be'usha Hitkinu Hamavazvez, Ayavazvez Yosemi Chomesh. When one wants to give a lot of tzedakah or spend a lot of money on a mitzvah, should not give more than 1/5. Why? We're afraid that he's going to become poor. We don't want him to give away all his money. Gives away all his money, then he's going to need tzedakah. And the Gemara says it's on that from a pasuk. Recall a share titen li Yaakov Avinu said, "All that you give me, aser asrenu lach, aser asrenu lach, double meiser is 2 times 10% equals 20%." And the Gemara points out, if you first take out 10%, and then 10% of what remains is not a full 20%. And the Gemara learns that no, the second 10% is just like the first 10% for a total of 20%. So we know that. Okay, so when it comes to produce, let's say Minat Torah, grain and grapes and olives and the Dorbanan, fruits and vegetables, so we have Trumas and Maises that one must give. We have Truma Gedola, goes to the Kohen. We have Maaser Rishon, goes to the lady. Then, depending on the year, within the 7-year Shemitah cycle, year 1, 2, 4, and 5, we have something called Maaser Sheni, which has to be brought up to Yerushalayim and eaten there. And then at year 3 and 6, we have something called Maaser Ani. You have to give 1/10 to the pauper. So we also have a concept called Maaser Ksafim, to give 1/10, 10% of one's earnings to tzedakah. So this is a very famous, popular thing. Hopefully it's something that people try to do. So where does this come from? So it's actually discussed in Hilchos. It's more discussed in Hilchos Trumas and Maaser at the end of Siman Shin Lamed Aleph in Yoredeah. And there the Taz quotes the Bach. His father-in-law, the Bach, says that this concept of giving 10% of your earnings to tzedakah, it's not a chiyuv min haTorah, and it's not a chiyuv min derabbanan. It's not obligatory. The Taz himself finds it very disturbing, based on what we're going to see over here in Yoredeah Reish Mantes. He holds that it is obligatory, perhaps even d'oraisa. And over there, the Piskei Tshuva brings support to the Bach. It's not d'oraisa, it's not derabbanan, it's a minug ba'alma. We'll call it a strong minug. However, and this is something that we need to know early on in the game, one who takes upon himself, one who starts doing a minug, even if it's not a din, not a chiyuv d'oraisa, not a chiyuv d'rabbanan, it's only a minug, it's a custom, but if he starts doing it, it then turns into a neder, it becomes like a vow, and he can't stop doing it. So that's something that's somewhat of a curveball in the sugya. That might theoretically not be a chiyuv, but once you start doing it, it can turn into a chiyuv, perhaps. What? Maaser ksafim, giving 10% of tzedakah. We seem to hold, I mean, there's different opinions, but there's a very, very, very strong opinion in the postgame. It's not obligatory. It's a strong custom. And then the Piskei Tshuva over there at the end of Shin Lamed Aleph says that because if you start doing it, it's a minig shel mitzvah, she'ein levata klal im lo letzorach gadol. That one should not stop doing unless he has a very good reason to do so. Now, because it's not obligatory, if a person can't afford it, so then he's not obligated to do it. We will see there is a minimal amount of tzedakah that a person has to give every year, but meiser is not something that is obligatory. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan phrases this the other way. I mean, the Taz wants to say that it's obligatory, maybe even min haTorah, to give Maaser. Comes along the Aruch HaShulchan and says, no, what does the Torah tell us? The Torah tells us you have to take care of the Ani, You have to give him day machsoro. You have to give him whatever he's missing. It means, really, based on what the Torah says, you have, I don't know about you, they knock on my door regularly. If you think about what these people need, if you give out $100,000, you still wouldn't take care of them. All the people that come and all the needs and making weddings and everything that they need. So the Torah says, give day machsoro. Give them whatever they need. So that's how the Aruch HaShulchan says, when we talk about giving Meiser, or giving 20%, the Chomesh, like we just learned over there in Ksubis, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that's not telling you what you have to give. That's limiting what you have to give. If you just look at the Torah, you might think you have to give away all your money. Whatever I have, he doesn't. Give away all your money. Torah says, give him whatever he's missing. So before you know it, you're left with nothing. Comes along the Chacham and says, no, give it 10%, not more than 20%. So he looks at it the opposite. It's not that it's going to tell me how much you must give. It's telling you, don't give more than that. So let's see that inside right now. In Reish, Mem, Tes, Siv, Aleph, you're there. Shi'ur Nisi Nasa, the amount that you have to give the pauper, Im yado maseges, if you can afford it, yiten kefi tzorech aniyim. You should give them whatever they need. Im ein yado maseges kakach, and if you don't have the wherewithal to give them all that they need, yiten ad chomesh nechasav mitzvah min amuvcha. If he gives up to 20%, that is mitzvah min amuvcha. Super duper mitzvah. You don't want to do super duper? The echad me'asara mida beinunis. To give 1/10 is average. Mida beinunis. Pachos miken, if you give less than 10%, ayin ra'a. Bad eye. Cheapskate. Again, assuming he can afford. If he can't afford, again. So, the different people use their thumbs to learn out different things from this line of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, if it was 100% obligatory to give Meiser 10% of your money to tzedakah, we wouldn't say if you gave less than 10%, you're ayin ra'ah. We would say you're violating the halacha. Ayin ra'ah means, you know, it's a valid way of doing things, you're just a cheapskate. The Torah looks at you, Chazal looking at you as a cheapskate. Not that you've violated the halacha. So that's, and others want to be medayik the other way, that it becomes a chiyuv. Now, it's still a little bit unclear where do we see this mitzvah of giving 20%. Meaning, we have the Gemara and Ksubis tell me don't give more than 20%. But who says that I have to give up to 20%? So the Ber HaGola over here, the Ber HaGola Ois Beis, brings down this Gemara that we just learned in Daf Hayom in Ksubis Daf Nun. Memra de Rav Illa Bu'usha Hitzkinu Sham Daf Nun Amar Aleph in Ksubis U'mash Malay. So now the Ber HaGola is explaining to us, how did the Shulchan Aruch tell us, where did he get it from that there's a mitzvah min amuvchar to give 20%? Umash, like the mitzvah min amuvchar, the mazah is chomesh. The fact that they tell me don't give more than 20% means, he's saying, from there they derive that up to 20% is a mitzvah min amuvchar. That's the best way to do it. The Chenirim Yerushalmi, the Reish Peah, there's also a Yerushalmi that sounds like that in the beginning of Maseches Peah. So we have the concept of giving up to 20%. 20% is the best. 10% is considered average. Less than that, although going with the approach of the Pisrei Tshuva, Ziman Shilam and Aleph, it's not obligatory, but it's a very strong minhag. And again, if you can't afford it, he can't afford it. The person has to support his family. But if he can't afford it, but he prefers to spend $50,000 on a trip to Alaska for his family, so that doesn't mean you can't afford it. It means your priorities are in the wrong place. So then, that's called an ayin ra'ah. This is interesting. We talked about if you can afford to take care of all the anim, you should do so, because there was a discussion a few months ago. I forgot who had the discussion, but some big shot pointed out that Elon Musk, you know Elon Musk?
The richest man in the world.
Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, who owns Tesla. So he's worth, I don't know, $200-300 billion. So some big shot pointed out that if he would give 2% of his net worth to charity, he would solve all poverty, all of world poverty. To which, so So here we see that if you up to 10% of your wealth can solve all of poverty, it sounds like that's what you have to do. To which Elon Musk responded, if you can show me how 2% of my net worth can solve all of world poverty, then I'll do it. But you have to prove that to me. Okay. Right. So, 10% is average, 20% mitzvah minavuvcha. More than that, you're not allowed. The poskim discussed, what about someone who's mega, mega wealthy, who's worth $1 billion? $1 billion, so if he spends, I do the math, $1 million a day, he'll have enough money, he'll still be well after tons of money, even if he spends $1 million a day. So there are those that want to say, someone who has such a huge net worth, so then the rule doesn't apply to him. The rule applies to regular people. If you give too much, we're afraid that you yourself will become poor. And you'll need stuck for yourself. But if you're so mega wealthy, then the rule doesn't apply. Again, we pointed out last week that the Shulchan Aruch tells us that nothing bad ever comes from tzedakah, and no one ever got poor from giving tzedakah. So if that's the case, so it seems to be a contradiction. So why am I limited to giving only up to 20%? I don't have an answer to that. Okay, right. The Chomer Zeh She'amru, so now when we're talking about 20%, we're not talking about 20% of your net worth. That's not what we're discussing here. Shon Rishona Mehakeren. Now it's a little strange the way he says this, in my opinion. I don't really understand this so well. The first year you're giving from the principal. Nikam Ve'elach Chomesh Sheherviach B'kol Shana. Then you're giving 10 or 20% of your earnings. You're not giving 10 or 20% of your net worth. You're giving 10 or 20% of your earnings each year. So what does it mean, the first year? The first year also had earnings. So I'm giving, I don't know, someone handed you $1 million. So okay, so that's considered my earnings for the first year. I don't exactly understand what he's saying. But the point is that we don't assess your net worth every year, but rather every year, how much money do you make on your earnings? One is supposed to give 10%. And tzaddikim are encouraged to give 20%. Now, the Piskei Tshuva over here, Os Al, so there's a lot of things that really can be discussed over here. So, it's like this. So Piskei Tshuva discusses, I have two businesses. One business, making money. One business is losing money. So, if you lose money, how does that work? So basically, he brings out different opinions, but he brings a Buddha that says, if this company made $10,000, and this one lost $5,000, so we don't ignore the $5,000 loss and just look at the $10,000 gain, but we offset it. So, this made $10,000, this lost $5,000, so he made $5,000, and he will give the Meiser, or the Chomesh, on the $5,000. I actually got a question like this once. And Piskei Tshuva continues, what if one gets an inheritance? And his father always gave Meiser. So now the money goes to the son. Does he have to give it again? Says the Piskei Tshuva, yes, he does. He has to give it again. Now that it becomes his, he has to give it again. Here's another popular question, which Piskei Tshuva comes to from a roundabout way. But I want to give Meiser now on future earnings. I didn't make the money yet, but there's a certain need. So I'm going to give, the next 6 months I expect, I'm going to make $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month. I have $100 a month of Meiser for the next 6 months. And right now I want to give $600 to a certain charity and take it off future earnings. So the Piskei Tshuva doesn't love it, but he seems to say it's okay. He gets into a situation with the, what if the guy dies and then how do the kids? Okay, that's really more complicated. But in terms of the person himself, he seems to say that since we are going with the assumption, the halakhic assumption that Meiser is a minig, so it very much is dependent on what's the minig. If it's something that people do, it is acceptable. Because, he doesn't spell it out like that, but because we're dealing with a minig, so then we have more leeway. What is the minig? Oh, well, the minig is when people have a certain need right now. I need money for X, Y, and Z for some charitable cause. I'm going to take it off of future earnings. That's not uncommon. And therefore, he says that that's going to be okay. Now, we just learned in the Gemara in Ksubis also, one is obligated to support his children up to age 6. After age 6, officially, halachically, is not obligated to support them, but he should support them. And Chazal, it's not 100% obligatory, but the Chazal feel very strongly you should support your kids above age 6. So, my kids above age 6 have no money, so they're poor. If I support someone else's poor kids, that's my same money.
They expect 6-year-olds to go out to work?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. That's what the Gemara says very strongly, that a person should support his kids after age 6, but they can't halachically enforce it. They said they would embarrass it, they would announce it publicly. And the Gemara that we just had in the fourth parak of Ksubis. So now there's a Machlokes Shach and Taz. Can he deduct that from his Maisa money? Okay, I'm going to support my kids above age 6. Each kid I give $100 a month, I'm going to take that away from Maisa. So that's a Machlokes Shach and Taz. The Taz is because an Al says, well, you think that you're supporting your kids, you're going to take it off of Maisa? That's ridiculous, says the Taz. The Shach doesn't think it's ridiculous at all. He thinks it's okay. In Sif Katar Gimel. Okay, continues the Rambo. Hagah. The Ayyavavis Adam Yoser Michomesh. This is from the Gemara we just saw in Ksubis. Don't give more than 20%. Why not? Shalom Yitzdarik Labrios. So he shouldn't become needy himself. Vidav Bekoy Mechayim. That's only as long as you're alive. Aval Bishas Mosa. But when he knows that his end is near, he's preparing for. After 120, so then the rule doesn't apply because he's not going to be poor, he's going to be dead. So he doesn't have to worry about money. So then he can give more. There's a discussion, how much more, and is it right for him to leave his kids with nothing? Should he give everything to tzedakah? Like, is that a big mitzvah? A big mitzvah is on the cheshbon of his kids. Now his kids have nothing. So it's not so simple that he should give everything to tzedakah. He should take care of his kids as well. Okay, that's a discussion. But the rule of not giving more than 20% is not relevant to someone who is near his end. Continues the Ramah. This is a controversial Ramah, greatly debated and discussed. Continues the Ramah, the Ein Lasos Mimaisa Shalot Dabar Mitzvah. Kigoneris Vesa Knesset Zoshad Dabar Mitzvah, Rak Yitnu La'anim. The Ramah seems to be saying, Maisa money goes to poor people. It doesn't go to the shul. It doesn't go to the school. It doesn't go to the mikvah. It doesn't go to the kollel. It goes to poor people. Maybe the kollel is called poor people because the Avreichim are poor. It doesn't go for mitzvos. It goes only for anim. So, if that's the case, then, you know, let's say they're auctioning off the aliyahs of shul to raise money for the shul, for the building fund, for the upkeep of the shul, for whatever it is. So I can't take that from Meiser. So that's what it sounds like from the Rambam. There are three opinions over here. There's a Shach, there's a Taz, and there's a Ber Agoda. So the Shach seems to be the most stringent of all of them. And he says that, right, Meiser really is for Aniyim. But if you're not going to be able to do the mitzvah unless you use your Meiser money, then we'll let you use your Meiser money. That's the beginning, towards the beginning of Shach, Zivkot, and Gimel. Im lo haya yecholas biyadov, lo haya osa mitzvah, won't do the mitzvah without having access to his Meiser funds, yachol liknos mina Meiser. He can use the Meiser money. The Taz has a more open-minded approach, although each one might have a kula and a chumrah. The Taz says, it's like 10 lines down, well, it depends on your surah sadaf, but the Taz says, by me it's 10 lines down, sifkat and aleph, the inyan liknos mitzvahs bevesa knesses b'mos maiser. You want to buy an aliyah, you use your maiser money. Nearly the imbishas knias and mitzvahs are you daito of that? Sure. If when you raise your hand, 200 shekel, 300 shekel, 400 shekel to buy an aliyah, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, whatever it is, if your intention is to use your Maaser money, that's okay. The Hahamos, the Tzedakah, Ozer. Actually, maybe that's not what he's saying. I missed that word. What does it mean? Hahamos, the Tzedakah, Ozer. Is he saying that the shul is called the Tzedakah, or they're auctioning off money for the poor people, and because you're giving money to the poor people, you are getting your aliyah, but you're benefiting from your meiser money. Okay, I didn't pay attention to that line before. I have to look into that again. So now the Taz said, well, am I about to benefit from my meiser money? So it's okay that I'm benefiting from my meiser money. I'm getting an aliyah. When the Torah tells me to give truma and ma'aseh, it doesn't tell me to whom to give it. I have the right to choose who's my favorite Kohen, who's my favorite Levi, and who's my favorite Ami, and what's my favorite cause. I have every right to do that. That's called Tovas Hanah. Tovas Hanah means it's my right to choose. And I might get some, you know, fringe benefits by doing such a thing. So the fact that you're getting aliyah l'Torah, that's okay. That doesn't take away from the ability to use the ma'aser funds. Just these four words he throws in, the ha'mos, tzedaka, azel, sounds like they can auction off, let's say, bayas, they auction off aliyah zayin on yontif, the money goes to the shul. But one, sometimes you go to a hotel for Shabbos, they're auctioning off aliyahs, so where's all the money going? To the hotel? They don't need your money. They already got plenty of money for you to stay there for Shabbos. So they're auctioning you off for some charity that helps poor people in the city of, I don't know, in Tiberia. So the money is going there, going to the stock, or whatever, the money is going to the shul. So that's, I have to look into that line. And the Be'er Gola, by the asterisk, he says, it depends what kind of mitzvah we're talking about. Your tefillin, you can't buy your tefillin with ma'aser money. You need to buy a pair of tefillin. You need to buy your mezuzah. You need to buy your talis. That's not what we're talking about. He says, if I'm obligated in any way to do this mitzvah, the road to lift or be man of a ma'aser, and you want to get off the hook by using your ma'aser money, ain't a rashai. You're not allowed to do that. If I'm not obligated to do the mitzvah, then I am allowed to use my ma'aser money. I'm not obligated to get an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So if I'm obligated to build a sukkah, to have a lulav, tefillin, tzitzit, mezuzah, so if something I'm obligated, I can't use my ma'aser money. But I'm not obligated to get that aliyah. I want to buy that aliyah and use my ma'aser money. So that's fine. Because it's not something that I'm obligated to do. As long as I'm not obligated to do it, I can use my ma'aser money to do that mitzvah. So, the Shach seems to say you can only use ma'aser money if you have no other choice. The Taz, I thought, was saying, but now I'm thrown off with those four words, that as long as your intention when you were committed is to use your ma'aser money, it's okay. And the Be'er Gola says it depends on the type of mitzvah that you're doing. If it's a mitzvah that you're obligated to do, then you have to spend your own money. But if it's a mitzvah that you're not obligated to do, then you can, in fact, spend your ma'aser money. Now, if you look at the reading of the Ramah,
what you intend to do, what is it?
A mitzvah that I'm obligated to do,
I can't.
If I'm not obligated, I can't. And the Taz says, it seems to say, again, I'm not sure exactly now what the Taz said, but looking again, that as long as I'm using the money, I had intention, when I bought the aliyah, my intention was to use my ma'aser money, so that's okay. Now, when you look at the Ramah, it doesn't sound like the Be'er Gola, because he talks about candles for the shul or Sha'ar Dvar Mitzvah. I'm not obligated to put candles in the shul. The shul is obligated to put candles in the shul. If I want to get the mitzvah, so that's not obligated. So how does that fit into the Be'er Gola? I thought it was like this. If I first commit to put candles in a shul without thinking, like the Taz says, that it's coming from my ma'aser money, so once if I take a vow, I take a neder, I commit money, so then it becomes obligatory. If it now becomes obligatory, then maybe I can't use my ma'aser money. But if, meaning the Be'er Gola would work hand in hand with the Taz. As long as when I committed that money, I made the commitment with the understanding that I can't use ma'aser money to fulfill my commitment. But if I made the commitment originally with the understanding that I was going to use my ma'aser money, so then my ma'aser money is not coming to fulfill a commitment. My ma'aser money is coming for some extra credit, getting an aliyah, giving candles to the shul. And therefore, that would seem to be okay. Okay, we have to touch this up. But that is Resh Mem Tes Aleph.